I want to welcome everyone to our Keeping on Track open line. We're celebrating over 20 years in business and just entering our eighth year of doing open line programs. We have a few new exciting changes that have taken place. First, we have our new 2015 open line format that comes with the launching of our new website. You can find an archive section of past topics on the publication event tabs for both our Keeping on Track articles that we put out every month and also for open line programs. And we have a myriad of topics. Plus, our brand new book, Cracking the Business Code, is available on Amazon, or you can click on the book icon on our homepage. Our topic today is the mobile workforce, the office of tomorrow today, how to manage and lead. My name is Dana Barocca. I'm the CEO of Lighthouse Consulting Services. I'll be hosting our program today. We have just a few housekeeping items, and we're going to jump right into our topic. For those of you joining us for the first time at Lighthouse, everything we do goes back to our mission statement, bringing effective insight to your organization. We do this through our in-depth work style and personality assessments to raise the hiring bar and assist companies with a variety of services, including interpersonal coaching, executive onboarding for success, leadership training, operational productivity improvement, and exploring global options for expanding your business. Matter of fact, we just opened an office earlier this year in Taiwan, so if you have an operation in Asia and would like to get leadership coaching for any of your people or provide any ideas of how to interact with a U.S.-based company, please let us know. Our Keeping on Track open line series is a response to the calls that we get from many of our clients, both domestically and globally, to address the various business issues that organizations are facing today. Our goal is to make this an interactive program, so on your screen, you'll see an area that you can send questions or ideas during our discussion, and we'll attempt to respond to as many of you as possible. So please join us with your thoughts and insights you have along the way. At the conclusion of our program, we're going to open up the line so you can talk directly with our guests. So you'll want to write down two or three questions. You may want to send them during the program, or you can hold them until we open the line up. Our special guest with us today is Janine Chung, and we are very fortunate to have Dan Kravitz on the line right now. Dan is the CEO of Kravitz. Dan's a good friend. We've been longtime clients of Kravitz, and we're so grateful to have both you on our program. Dan is so kind to introduce the topic and Janine for us today. So, Dan, take it away.
Well, great. Thank you so much, Dana. Yeah, I'm real excited that you invited Janine and I to talk to you a little bit about the mobile workforce, the office of tomorrow today. You know, Kravitz, congratulations, Dana, by the way, on your 20th anniversary. Kravitz just celebrated its 38th anniversary this month.
Wow.
And we've been doing business for quite some time. Historically, Kravitz and our firm, we're located in Los Angeles, California. And for the first 20 years of Kravitz, we hired people in California, and if you came to work for Kravitz, you would have to, live near Los Angeles, or we would move you to Los Angeles to work for us. And that was our paradigm, you know, from 1977 to about 1997, and I think that's really, really common. And then what we found when we got into the 90s, and I think we at one point we were up to about 100 employees, it started to get really difficult to find good quality people that worked in Los Angeles or were willing to relocate to Los Angeles. At the same time, as the real estate market in L.A. and California got real expensive, I started to lose employees who were making that strategic decision to sell their real estate in L.A., move to the Midwest or someplace where real estate was cheaper and relocate. And so I was losing really good employees to the high cost of living of Los Angeles, and I was having a really hard time finding good quality people that knew how to work on these complicated retirement programs that we administer. And so it started off kind of interesting with one of our employees who actually it was a married couple of ours that moved to Las Vegas, and they were really a great beta test for us back in the early 2000s, late 1990s, in terms of having satellite employees. We had a lot of challenges when we first launched this. Technology wasn't, if you think back to the late 90s compared to today in 2015, technology was really different. At our office, a lot of our client information was on paper files that were not accessible unless you had those actual file folders in front of you. And so there were a lot of challenges, a lot of difficulties with that first attempt to have remote employees. But if you fast forward to today in 2015, I'm real proud of what Kravitz has done. By going paperless, taking advantage of a lot of technology solutions out there, you know, we have, I think we're up to a little over 80 employees, about 82 employees or so. Only about 35 of the Kravitz employees actually work out of our headquartered offices in California. The majority of our employees are spread throughout the country, either working in their homes for the most part. One or two are working at Ephesian Suites, but for the most part, they work out of their homes, and we've very successfully have created an environment at Kravitz where you don't have to necessarily be in Los Angeles, California to help us help our clients with their retirement programs. It's been a huge coup for us in two ways. First off, it's allowed us to keep a lot of our employees. We have a lot of employees that have been with Kravitz over 20 years. In fact, our one employee's been with us, I think, over 35 years. He lives outside of Los Angeles, California, but continues to work for us and has taken advantage of our remote policies in terms of working for Kravitz in a remote location. And then as we've hired, I think this year we hired 7 or 8 employees. I don't think any of them live in Los Angeles, California. They all live around the country, which has allowed us to attract new people. And then finally, because our clientele is, we have a national footprint of clients. We have clients around the country. We service about 1,300 different employers. Those employers are all over the country. By being able to have employees around the country, we're better able to service our clients. So it's, you know, this idea of having a mobile workforce has been a huge coup. If I talk to other CEOs of other companies, I know there's a lot of concerns. It seems like the number one concern I have that I hear is trust. There's this kind of belief system that if your employees aren't actually physically under the same roof with management, that somehow they might not be getting their work done or they might be taking advantage of the situation. Two comments on that. I could tell you, at least what I've seen, the truth could not be further from that. In fact, we find the opposite. A lot of our employees that end up working from home, productivity, based on our analysis, increases, and we monitor that closely. We can easily monitor how many widgets each employee produces. So typically, there's always an exception. I think we've had one or two exceptions over the last 10 or so years of doing this. But for the most part, we see productivity increase when employees go from working at the corporate headquarters at Kravitz to working at home. And lastly, Dana, your organization has been critical in our mission. We make sure we hire people that have the capability to work at a remote location. It definitely isn't for everybody. Not everybody can necessarily work 8 hours a day at a remote location without a lot of physical interaction with their coworkers. And then I'll make another comment and see if Janine wants to add to this, or Dana, if you have any questions. The one thing we worked really hard, though, as we went ahead and dispersed our employees from Los Angeles, California to throughout the country, is trying to maintain our culture and trying to make sure that the Kravitz core values continue to maintain itself, which is a little more difficult when the employees are spread around the country and you have less of that physical contact. So Gene and I can talk about this with you throughout the presentation, but there's all sorts of interesting technology and software you can bring in-house that can maintain, you know, that collegial type of environment, that, you know, so that way you feel still very well connected to the company and to your colleagues, both on a work basis and on a personal basis. Big companies have been doing this for a long time. In my space, in the retirement plan space, it's very common for the very large 401k vendors to have their employees working out of their homes throughout the country. And so small businesses like Kravitz and innovative companies out there have launched innovative solutions to help small companies, just like large companies, have that type of mobile workforce.
And Dan, you brought up 2 points. Next month, as a segue, and at the end of this program, you could sign up for it for our next open line. Our topic is going to be how to create an ownership culture, and it's the same organization that helped Kravitz build that process in, so there is the culture of ownership within it. And the other thing is, Dan, you brought up a good point about productivity. Many years ago, before telecommuting was an in thing, Pac Bell did a study with a major university, and they found for certain people, their productivity would go up between 30 to 300%.
Wow.
That's a huge number.
Yeah, and Dana, I could, you know, I know in our space we tend to, a lot of our work is done on a computer where there isn't a lot of team, you know, I think of my advertising clients and I think of some of my more creative clients where there's, I see people huddled around, you know, together in a team environment getting work done. Our work lends itself very nicely to this, and then your organization has really helped us hire people for that. And that productivity increase that Pac Bell saw in their study, I wouldn't be surprised if with some of our employees we've seen similar productivity increases as well. And I can't reiterate the stress of commuting to work, particularly in dense areas like Los Angeles, that stress and trying to get through that maze of traffic. I know, Dana, you and I were talking about, you know, our motorcycle trips. You know, and some of us have resorted to that in L.A. because you literally can't get around Los Angeles unless you're on a motorcycle. I live 5 miles from my office. It can take me a half hour to make that five-mile ride in a car. That can be very stressful. And that really, based on Dana, you probably know more of us than I do, but I've heard that the impact on stressful commutes on productivity can be tremendous.
It's huge. It's a huge thing, and if it's balanced out right, which we're going to talk about today, this is going to be the key for a major breakthrough, which Kravitz made and the reason that Dan and Janine are doing this program today is they made a huge strategic adjustment, which included having a remote workforce. So let's go to the next slide, and we can start digging into the topic further. Dan, great ideas. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. I'm excited to be part of Dana's Open Line today. Today, as you guys may have heard in the news yesterday, is the day after the future date from the Back to the Future. Did you see all that yesterday?
Yes.
So I thought today's topic is quite apropos to talk about the Office of Tomorrow. So I know the cards are not yet flying, but you know, we are talking about the way that is. It's evolved. It's the new generation. You know, Dan did not address this, but, you know, our company was founded by his dad, Lou Kravitz, and now Dan's been CEO, and it kind of is the new generation of the business and where it's going. So we're very excited to be part of that change, part of that evolution. A lot of you kind of see the technologies, as Dan mentioned, it's all about supporting the technologies. Dan is not shy about spending the resources to support the technologies for this remote working workforce to work for all of us. So I'm going to go over some sample best practices that we've implemented. So the premise of my topics coming forward here is how we transitioned from the traditional office environment to now the satellite employees and remote environment. So some of the softwares and the tools I'll mention, you know, we have no sponsorship. We may like some, we're trying some others, but just letting you know what we are using as an example. The four areas I'm going to cover today will be the communication. The first slide here is the key component, communicate. Again, because we transitioned, we involved our staff. I'm going to then talk about the technologies. Again, some of the samples and what we support for staff and how we are making this successful. Then the big thing is the culture. I personally believe we have best culture at Kravitz than ever before. And a lot of it is due to this particular transition of going remote workforce. Finally, I'll kind of wrap it up with some practical tools, how we transitioned and steps and some tangible examples that you can take away. throughout the presentation, Dana is going to help me with some questions for clarifying, so feel free to send those in, and, you know, it's an open line, so I would love some interaction as we go forward.
Actually, we already have two questions that came in, Janine. Question number one is, what positions could be limited to work in, like, headquarter office?
Oh, right. Good question. Yeah. So, you know, we are consulting on retirement plans. We administer and specialize on cash balance pension plan, which is kind of that defined benefit on top of what you may be familiar with on the 401k and profit sharing. So when we do the administration and documents related to these retirement plans, virtually all positions are available. At least we're making it that. It has been so far personal choices of those, the 35 out of 82 that Dan mentioned, who are in the LA area to come in to the office every day. But we have all positions working satellite, including HR, accounting. Our sales people are 100% remote, the client relationship managers, the compliance specialists we call, they can be remote, and even we have computer programmers working remotely. So we have not found any position that has to be here. Fortunately, when I talk about technology, we do have in-house support as far as IS support, so that works out to our advantage, but we're not mandating any position to be here.
That's great.
Yeah, and I'll just add a comment, Dana, to that, Janine's comments.
Sure.
At first, when we started this, I thought it would be important to keep the managers and as well as the admin assistants tied to the corporate headquarters. And I think my thinking at the time was it would be important for culture reasons to have management there, and then for administrative assistance. I really didn't understand or really appreciate that they could do their jobs effectively from home, and I'm glad I was proven wrong on both fronts, because we have some great managers and great administrative assistants that continue to work for Kravitz that I couldn't have if I continue to this day to insist that they come into every day to our Los Angeles office. So no one, even including myself, is necessarily forced to come into the headquarters every single day or at all for some of our managers.
And also some organizations that are on today are in manufacturing. You might be thinking, well, yeah, we have to have people operating the machines. And that's true. But there's also positions that you could have people work remote. Also, everyone doesn't have to be under the same roof, or you can also have a rotational system where people work at home a couple days a week, come in. They don't have to necessarily be there. And the other topic that came in or question was about any logistical issues regarding expanding beyond California, and I think we're going to be covering that as we get into technology discussion.
That's right. Yeah, there were definitely some paperwork issues, if you would, you know, as those of you who work with other states, you know, beyond California, the payroll needs to be set up. So I think, Dan, what is it, up to 20 plus states?
Yeah,
now?
So you'll find is our accounting department has to deal with all the different states and filing tax returns with different states, and there are different HR. I mean, there's a J curve of learning for your HR department and your accounting department. Your HR department needs to understand all the different employment rules in different states. And California happens to be one of the strictest states, so oftentimes the rules that we apply to our California employees work fine with our out-of-state employees for the most part. But I think Hawaii is the exception. Hawaii, I think, is a little more severe than California in terms of some of the employment regulations. And then accounting, you know, our CPA, my tax return for the company is gigantic because we're filing, you know, obviously state tax returns, even personal tax returns being an S-Corp in different states. So that's the J-curve. So I don't want to – I mean, definitely there is a learning curve, and there's a lot of work on the front end to have a mobile workforce and allow for your employees to work throughout the country outside where maybe you're headquartered.
Yeah, so to summarize our communication to staff, you know, as we evolved, at least those of us who have transitioned together, you know, it's huge time and money savings. You know, I think, Dana, you know, we were even able to move the headquarters to a smaller footprint because we didn't need to pay rent, and everybody appreciate the money savings, not just the, you know, commute time and the gas for those who were driving. And it's a job security, just like that couple who moved to Vegas. you know, they didn't need to worry about keeping the job they love and they enjoy for having to relocate their family and personal lives. So, you know, it just offers wider individual opportunities than ever before. So of that 35 local staff, I think it's about 20 of us who come in every day, and even half of us still, you know, have an option to have a setup at home and telecommute as well. So it's really flexible. And when we do our employee engagement survey, the number one positive out of all this is the flexibility. That's been repeated by employees time after time, the flexibility that we offer, that they're able to do the work they can. You know, the high performers that we hire working with you at Lighthouse, they like and appreciate the parameters that we set up, the guidelines that we give them, because all they ever want to know is what is expected of me, right? So as Dan mentioned, we may have company policies that may be using the higher standard of the labor law, like California, and we just need to know what the company policies are and how you adhere to that, and people are happy to report back that they're more productive and their lives are happier and better balanced by being able to do this.
Yeah, and one comment I'll add, Dana, you know, I think a lot of us employers are going to have to face the fact that we're going to have to hire more millennials, whether we want to or not, in the future. And this type of paradigm of being able to kind of work where you live or have that type of flexibility, I think it's almost an expectation from them. So if you want to, you know, hire and attract talented people in the future, having this type of flexibility will definitely give you a step above your competition when you're trying to hire talented people. And then I found people of my generation, you know, as I approach 50 and my employees that are baby boomers, you know, I think that some of them were a little afraid of change. But once we went to this, I think they were pleasantly surprised how much good it did. There's always pros and cons to anything in life, but I think the pros, even for those of us that had concerns about this change, find that they far outweighed the cons of not having everybody under one roof.
It's two things before we go on to the next topic, which will be around the technologies to make this successful. I was talking with someone from a division of Dell Corporation. In this particular division, they don't want people in the office. They want them remote, wherever they want to be, and some of these people want to come in, but they really don't want them to. Look, if you want to see everybody, turn on your video camera and we'll chat that way. But they want them out because they found it just to be so much more productive, and also they're saving on overhead cost by not having to have offices for everybody. A number of years back, Northrop Corporation, their corporate headquarters was in Century City, California. The CFO was walking through their big high-rise, and he wanted to know where everybody was, and he realized that over half of their space wasn't being utilized because people were out visiting different divisions. So he said, we don't have to pay for all this, and he literally cut their overhead by having them move. 50% gone. Matter of fact, I think they got rid of three-quarters of their space in the place they moved to, and
wow.
they were leaders on remote locations for individuals to work either from their home or what they call them satellite hotels, in a sense, where people could go anywhere in the country and go in there, and they'd have everything set up from a security standpoint. But win-win-win all across the board. So here's big companies doing that, and little companies are now accepting that this can be very an exceptional move, which Kravitz did, because you guys are always ahead of the curve, which I want to congratulate you guys on. Let's talk about technologies.
Sure. Yeah, as Dan mentioned, the key component here was to go paperless. But as you thought, and you know, me being the Gen X myself, there were a lot of anxiety about that initial kind of lack of hands-on support. What if my computer breaks down? What if I can't log in? So what we did is document and provide a backup support for all hours East Coast to West Coast to make sure that they can call, they can text, they can connect with somebody at all hours to be able to print the documentations that we have. We have a rigorous process on FAQs because, you know, hey, this is the generation and the times where it's all about self-help. So we have how to reset this system to that network. And we even have a texting network for emergencies. What if the power goes down in Encino? How will everybody know and what to do? So we've documented and we tried and we thought through everything possible. But going paperless is key thing. And, you know, we are a high-touch, high-service providers to all those clients who are, you know, putting away a lot of money into their retirement plans beyond 401k plans. So we want to make sure the quality of our reports and the product that we deliver are meeting those service standards. We don't want a report printed out of a home, you know, printer almost fading to be brought that to the client. So we coordinate, we plan ahead, and a lot of us have iPads to bring to meetings. You know, again, Dan's not shy about investing into these resources so that we can remotely share the documents and have that high-quality services still delivered. The system we use is Citrix, and the security and the confidentiality of our information is very important of the type of work that we offer within the retirement plan area. Dan does offer and provide all the hardware. I understand this is the area where the different companies have different level of investment or support provided. Some people may say, hey, you got to get your own laptop. But we have computer and multiple monitors, 2 to 3, whatever you want, shipped to everyone's home, including webcam, IP phone, and all the, you know, tools that you need, the keyboard, the mouse, and all the details. So that's what we provide to staff so that there is never the problem with the system as far as hardware. Hey, my keyboard didn't work. Hey, my laptop didn't work today. That's not a concern here. And even webcam, we use software called LifeSize. So when you are here doing a staff meeting that Dan runs every meeting, everybody is on a 2 side-by-side 70-inch TV.
Actually, 90.
90. So when you say life-size software, we are talking people, you know, we see 50, 60 faces while we run that staff meeting. And they can see us in the office with Dan, you know, so that it's, you know, we are doing a lot of interactive investments into the technologies to make sure that works, which will kind of tie to the culture that I'm going to talk about next.
Yeah, and I'll add some comments. I like what Janine shared with us on the technology side. The you know, the Kravitz, what we do at Kravitz is we make sure we get all the hardware out to our employees. We do expect our employees to maintain certain environments at their house for a workplace, so they need to have a special location in their house designated for office work, as well as their internet connection needs to meet certain standards so that they can, you know, through the internet, connect to our servers back in Los Angeles and do the work that needs to be done. I would say the only technology that hasn't really caught up with Kravitz is that video conferencing system, these life-size systems or GoToMeetings and GoToWebinars and all those systems where you're trying to see the faces of your employees. A lot of those are really designed for large companies that might have, you know, 15 or 30 offices around the country, as opposed to Kravitz. So one way to think about Kravitz, even though we're a real small company, we really have 50 to 80 offices because everyone's working out of their home. Those are all offices. The video conferencing system we have, which is, from what I understand, the top system you can get your hands on. In fact, we even bought 2 of them, so there's 2 locations at our corporate headquarters to run these large meetings. It still hasn't caught up with Kravitz. So that is one area where I'm hoping LifeSize and the video conferencing software companies will start to catch up with Kravitz and other companies that have more than 25 or 30 locations.
2 questions. One is, Dan, you brought up an interesting point. What if the location of the person, they're in the middle of whatever state they are, and their internet tends to be slower there? How do you guys overcome that, or do you?
Yeah, so we've had – so there are some interesting challenges, particularly people in rural areas. I've literally – and it's well worth the money, in my opinion, but we've had to put T1 lines in to the homes of two or three of our employees where, you know, Time Warner Cable or their internet provider isn't sufficient. And you do have to assess before you hire an employee. You have to definitely seek to understand if they're going to be a satellite employee. You know, you have to understand the ability of their particular county or city and or the private companies out there in terms of what they make available. The good news is, I think we typically don't run into that T1 line situation. I have two employees in very rural areas of the country, and that is a little bit more pricey. So the company might have to spend with the help of the employee. I think we work it out that but it might be like even up to a few $100 a month to maintain something along those lines. The employees that we have are very skilled, technically skilled laborers who have a unique ability. So to me, it was well worth making that investment. But you definitely need to understand that and assess that. Like I said, you know, deploying satellite employees does take some work on the front end, but the reward on the back end is to the employee and to our clients and to Kravitz is so tremendous. It's well worth that investment.
Another question came in. If individuals are on the phone with clients, how do we assure if there's no background noise from kids screaming or dogs barking? Okay.
I'll let Janine address that.
You know, as Dan mentioned, we have made a request and the understanding of making sure that you are in a separate room from the rest of your family if they're there, and that taking care of the family or pets is not a part of your responsibilities during work. At the same time, I think, you know, we have controlled that as much as possible, but the environment is that a lot of salespeople, a lot of people do work from home these days, so a couple occasions I've heard, you know, the sirens outside. I'm in Encino on Ventura Boulevard. You know, you're going to hear that. The dog barking, the doorbell ringing has happened. I think a lot of people are understanding. We don't hide the fact that people work from home. We are professional and we provide, you know, top-notch services. That hasn't been an issue other than, you know, I've pointed out to my staff when I'm doing one-to-ones and whatnot, I say, hey, I can hear that, you know, background noise. Is that something, you know, you can manage and take care of? At the same time, a lot of our clients, because they know their service providers are local, that they understand and, you know that they may be working from home.
And it's more of the norm. So that's great the way you guys are managing that. Let's move on to the next slide for culture.
You
guys spend a lot of time on this topic.
Right. So, you know, I like I said, personally, I've been with Kravitz now going on 15 years and been in the industry 25, but our culture has been better than ever. And I strongly believe that because we made this transition and because we made it with staff through communication, you know, our phone system, the software that comes with the IM feature is My Collab, where anytime I'm calling Dan or somebody who's working from home, I can see whether they're on the phone, whether they are available for a chat, and a picture of them popping up. So when we hire new people, we kind of have them spend a week or two in the headquarter office so we get to know them and kind of build that initial relationship. But once they go off, I'm not going to forget what they look like. We also use this technology called Jostle. It's an internal kind of a social media where we do shout outs and personal articles. So we work very hard to stay connected, and being a Gen X, I think it kind of works with the time and the changes. As Dana, you mentioned, it's the norm. You know, everybody's on social media. Everybody's talking through texting. So we've kind of evolved with how the time has changed. And we make sure that we proactively outreach the managers and supervisors. You know, we call our staff not just to ask about work, but we make sure, and it's really all goes back to the good hires that we made. Again, the high performers, our A players, really want to be accountable. So what we do with them is we confirm and make sure they're getting their personal needs and staying connected. And there are some of the staff that we work with, they rather be left alone, but they are able to use the softwares and the system to stay connected on their own way. So just understanding the individual needs and being proactive and making those outreaches.
We have no financial connection to that company that produced this program called Jostle, but I got to tell you, that's been a huge way for us to keep the culture and stay connected to our employees. It's kind of like an internal Facebook, and it allows for our employees to stay connected on a personal side as well as a business side. And I personally think those shout-outs where you give rewards and praise to your colleagues, as well as share your personal weddings and births of children and those kinds of things, Jostle is a great platform for that. So that way our employees still feel very connected so that you don't lose that. And that's real important, I think, for Dana, you probably can speak on this better than I can, but those interpersonal relationships are key to a successful organization. And it was really important to me that we let most of our employees go to a remote environment, that we did not lose those personal connections to the company and to each other, such that maybe people would be open to exploring other job opportunities because they didn't feel connected to Kravitz or to their colleagues. Jostle and my collab, the ability to text with each other and see each other's faces, and Jostle will be able to share personal stories as well as slap each other on the back through these shout-outs and these other programs that Jostle offers, has been a great way and a great platform for Kravitz to stay connected. And I think a program cost us $10,000, something along those lines. And it was a little bit of an investment in onboarding it and getting everyone on there with their pictures and their bios and their personal stories. And then getting people to use it took some work, but once it was full on running, I think everyone really enjoys it.
I remember one of the managers from Kravitz a couple of years back had built a hot fudge sundae day. And so on the computer, everyone got to build a hot fudge sundae. So between the team, somebody would add this nuts or whipped cream or cherry or whatever it was, and they had fun with it. And that just helps to bond people to have a fun time through the technology, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, we have many committees and we stay involved beyond just the work service groups that we have internally. And, Dan, our CEO, and Patty Crabtree, COO, those of you who know her, we have full support on being able to do all the innovative ideas and including these type of committees. So we actually take out a whole day once a year and just think about what we can do differently, automate, improve, including work processes or any other ideas that we need. So we fully support making sure that everybody stays connected and everybody has the personal touch, not only with their managers or their friends, but with everybody throughout the company on various occasions.
That innovation day that we take once a year where employees work on the company, one thing that came out of there was our happiness committee. And as a result of Innovation Day, we formed a happiness committee. And really, it's really about keeping employees engaged. And they come up with all sorts of innovative ideas on how to maintain that cultural environment at Kravitz and making it a fun, great place to work, knowing that we have some challenges in getting everyone together, so we have to use technology. And they figured out all sorts of innovative ways to do that, like the example you shared, Dana.
A question on the care packages and also Innovation Day. Let me do Innovation Day. So I don't know a lot of companies that do, quote, Innovation Day, and you guys are a leader in this area. So what does that look like?
I'll let Janine answer that.
Yeah, it's a day in early January. As you know, our business have heavy cycles. So after the year-end, big push for new retirement plans to be implemented, we literally take a day for everyone to be involved on an individual level if you're comfortable working by yourself, or on a group level, we cross-team and make up different groups to come up with ideas. We don't want just ideas. We want the implementation plan as well as the cost savings attached to it. So everybody has fun just thinking about the actual process for themselves or for other coworkers. And we, every month when Dan does the monthly staff meeting, we report back on the progress of implementing these ideas, including the ones, hey, not at this time due to these resources and whatnot. We fully communicate back so that they know they are heard and feel good about being part of setting up the processes and procedures for the company and for themselves.
Yeah, think of it this way, Dana. You know, the job of a CEO, in my opinion, is to work on the company, not in the company. I think most successful small businesses that get to the next stage, their CEO spends a lot of time, you know, working on the business, not in the business. That day is an opportunity for all the employees at Kravitz to work on the business, not in the business. So what I mean by that is we help our employees in group setting or individual setting. You know, we create an environment where, and we have some open-ended questions and some other things that we've implemented to help the employee come up with ideas to make Kravitz a better place to work. So it's one day where we're all working on the business, not in the business. And you get priceless ideas, you know, from employees that, you know, those of us that are running the company, you know, might not be able to see because we're not on the necessarily on the front lines with our clients and with all the day-to-day issues they have to tackle. So there's no one better, in my opinion, than a lot of the employees at Kravitz for seeing ways and coming up with ideas to improve the firm. And so we just try to create that space for it. And that's what Innovation Day is creating that space to make Kravitz a better place to be.
And are people, what percentage of people for Innovation Day are actually all together in one room physically versus remote?
Yeah, because Kravitz, I'll let Janine expand on this, but because Kravitz is primarily remote, we actually create group settings, but we have to use technology to get those groups together. So most of them are not physically together. Janine, do you want to expand on that?
Yeah, so you reserve a line on the GoToMeeting or Life Size or the conference room, so it is done remotely, but you sign up for the groups ahead so that we can be kind of thoughtful about it.
Okay, that's very cool. And and what is a care package?
Oh, so, you know, those of you who know our business, we have deadlines. We have government filing deadlines and statutory deadlines. So we just had a big 1015, those of you who are on extension for your 5500 for your 401k plans or pension plans, that was the extended final due date for 2014 return. So after that, we used to have lunches brought in, ice cream, you know, Sunday catered, and all kinds of different local events, but now we, through the happiness committee that we came up with, we sent out packages with, you know, different snacks or gift cards so that they can be part of the celebration away from the headquarter location. And I got some good feedback from my direct reports. It's like, hey, I understand you guys can go to Dodger stadiums and, you know, local games, but I'm okay as long as we get our celebration and we get acknowledged. You know, they love getting that little card in the mail. They love getting this little package in the mail. So that's been a big, huge success just to stay connected and expanding that team effort, the celebrations that we do after a deadline or, you know, big projects.
That's very cool. Again, staying connected. Let's move to the next slide, setting up for success.
Yeah, so these are some of the, you know, steps. I think we talked enough about hiring the right people. You know, Dana, you know our process. We don't hire anybody quickly at all. We take time. We really believe by that, hire slowly and fire quickly. So we do a rigorous process in hiring the right people. And when you do, when you get that A players, those of you know who have your A players, they want to make sure they're accounted for. They meet the expectations and exceed the expectations by communicating and knowing, you know, our big vistage, what gets measured gets done. We believe in that. So we even recently did away with annual performance, and we do religious one-to-one meetings with the direct managers and supervisors. So you know where you are at all times, and accountability measurement is huge. And just like the technologies, we make sure we have the backup system, you know who to call, kind of relating to that Gallup poll question, do you have a best friend at work? Not literally, but do you know someone you can call and talk to, your managers, your supervisors, your HR? You know, we even have a confidential HR hour that you can go and talk to. So we offer tools that can be measured that everybody's really excited and glad about being able to track.
I've really circled and closed the loop. You really thought it through, and it's an ever-evolving process when people work remote. Question just came in. They're curious about Jocelyn and people feeling overly exposed or burdened by the pressure of social media and the idea of being connected with people as well as the professional side. And the question is, how does Kravitz set or put boundaries down so people don't feel the pressure of being available 24/7 kind of thing?
Right. So I use Jocelyn as a communication method, not the communication method. So, you know, we make sure we do communication at least outgoing through the regular emails and the meetings and, you know, the big meetings to subgroup meetings to make sure the important stuff is communicated through the mediums that everybody will be heard. Jocelyn is an optional social media, and I'm going to say any given day an article will get processed, and about half of our staff will be actively viewing that, which I think is huge. But if you are not that guy, then that's okay. You know, like I said, there are a lot of private people, individual people who rather be alone, but hey, I'm glad working here, and you have all the resources that you need to stay connected in your own way. So by all means, you know, nothing is mandated as far as the disclosures or personal information when that's concerned.
Yeah, and I'll reiterate that. You know, it's definitely, we have some, you have all sorts of people. When you have 80 employees, you have all sorts of different types of personalities. And we got some that love Jocelyn, probably on there every day sharing their personal lives with their colleagues and are very comfortable doing that. And I got other employees that probably have logged on there once or twice, you know, are not as engaged as others are with that system because of their personality and their private nature, and both are okay. But for the most part, people want that outlet. And so that's why I think it's so critical to have that at your company if you do this remote employee arrangement in particular.
And how do you guys deal with the 24/7 thing?
You know, I'll let Janine expand on it in detail, but I remember hearing anecdotal stories. One employee, the very first one that went to Vegas, she shared with me, you know, her productivity went up tremendously, and it was because, you know, she said all she did was work, and I think she shared with me that she had to do a good job of turning out the lights in that office, closing the door, and going on to her personal life, and she had to change her way of doing work to make that happen. But I have heard anecdotally that some employees have a difficult time, you know, not, you know, when that light flashes on their IP phone, which means they have voicemail messages, you know, and they're not supposed to be working. They have a hard time ignoring that. Or if they're one of our employees that, like a salesperson with a cell phone that is getting, you know, business emails. You know, it's important. And you would think as an employer I would want them working 24/7, and nothing could be further from the truth. I had an employee years ago, one of my better employees, one of my A players, you know, really get burnt out. She could not help herself, and she was in my office working 20 hours a day. I'm exaggerating, but it felt like that. And I should have done a better job as a manager stopping her from doing that, because sure enough, she burnt out and left the firm. And I think if I knew then what I know now, I would have definitely done a better job managing that. Maybe Janine can expand on that topic.
Yeah, and part of the whole measurement system, and, you know, I kind of have it on the rollout steps coming up, but a bunch of our technical staff, we call it the compliance analysts, the testers, actuarial staff, except for the actuaries and the salespeople and the consultants, we have them on hourly pay. They're non-exempt. So that really keeps them kind of scheduled, force them to work the 8 hours or the published hours. Again, our policy is to work the hours that you published. So we have a schedule of everybody, again, posted on our intranet. So I will know whether you're East Coast, West Coast, when I can get a hold of you. Obviously, the exception will be arranged and coordinated. But by doing that, we have timeliness measurement, quality measurement, as well as productivity measurement. So people want to be measured and be successful. And the accountability goes both ways. I want to make sure, Dan, you recognize that I'm working hard. And I'm not going to just tell you I'm working hard because I was here for 20 hours. I want to be able to show Dan, these are the things I got done, and these are how I got it done, and how much. So all that productivity measurements and the hourly online time cards, it might sound kind of harsh if you're not interested in working, but those of us who want to make sure and be part of this culture and the environment, we love those measurements, and that's been working well by having those the transparency tools. And documents lead to easier conversations during one-to-one or any kind of situations you may run into between the manager and the employee. Hey, here are the documentations, and that always is a good, great success tool, in my opinion.
And you guys have been tremendous on setting that up, and you guys have A players across the board, and companies need to know what an A player is and define that, and that's who you bring on into your organization, or a B player that can move up to a B plus and into an A slot down the road. Let's talk about the rollout steps.
Yeah, you know, I'll kind of wrap it up here, but I was talking about two things. One is the transition, how we made this transition. Now it's how we hire onboarding the new employees. So, you know, we do a meet and greet with the new staff when they come hired to the Encino office first week or two. You know, there are all these new terminologies that come into play, like you have to reserve hoteling workstations in Encino when you're coming in. You have to twin your phone when you're working outside, going on to the meeting. So all these tools and the technologies we made available are in place. Through the FAQs, through the documentations that we manage, we make sure we have your champions. When we rolled this out, we had a lot of people very excited that they can now go work from home. We want to minimize surprises. We keep asking questions. What's working well? What can be improved? And we're not shy about trying many different things. You know, Dan will tell you many, many brilliant ideas come from our CEO, Dan, and our COO, Patty, and the directors and the managers and supervisor. We work out details. We work diligently to make sure that anytime there's change, that we embrace it and we openly communicate and we're honest about potential pitfalls. You know, there's going to be a J curve. This is a change. But the biggest success came from our legacy employees being able to embrace this and be part of that. This wasn't just something we rolled out for the potential the millennials that we were going to hire. So it's doing it as a group, understanding what works and what doesn't, being open and honest about the potential pitfalls, and really involving your employees and having champions. And at the end of the day, I say we over-communicate.
Yeah, Janine did a great job explaining that, Dina. And we did make – I just want to add to Janine's great explanation of the Kravitz rollout. You will make mistakes. And there will be problems, and just, you know, acknowledging those and dealing with them. It's not going to go perfect. It didn't go perfect for Kravitz, and it's still not perfect. There's still things we can work on to improve it. But Janine did a great job, I think, explaining that rollout, and over-communicating is key.
And a good point. And then getting feedback, because it's an ever-evolving process, especially when technologies are involved, so there's deep technologies here. So let's talk about recruiting a little bit.
So I, you know, as I said before, this is win-win for staff and the company. We're now doing business, as Dan mentioned, nationally. So it's helped our national branding. We have a whole page on the website about our recruiting processes and the benefits that we have. People go to our website and just want to work with us without really knowing what we do for business. High retention, as you know. We want to keep our talent. we found really good people all over the country now. So even that person in a rural area, we wouldn't have had that opportunity. So I think it's opened up our opportunities and chances for the greater numbers, and we're having, you know, big expansion year. As Dan mentioned, we've hired many people, but more importantly, we're having a better retention through these flexibilities and benefits that we offer, in my opinion.
And yeah, I remember, I was just going to say, Richard Branson, I think, said it really well. The job of the CEO is not to keep their customers happy, it's to keep their employees happy, and then their employees will keep, you know, will keep your clients and your customers happy. And I think what we did here at Kravitz with this remote employee made it a better place to work, made for a happier environment. And I think it's not just helped with our recruiting, but it's helped with the onboarding of new clients and getting clients to stay with us as well.
Hmm. And you guys have a very thorough recruiting process, which you've raised the bar on.
And it's real important. I tell all the CEOs that I meet, you know, it's really important to have a firm like Lighthouse. Dana, your organization has been critical to our success to help make sure that we get the right people on the bus. I think that's the most important thing you can do if you want a successful organization, is hiring the right people. And once you do that, the rest is pretty easy.
Well, thank you, Dan. I appreciate that. Let's go to the last slide, and then we're going to open up the line.
Yeah, just a no downsides for not going remote. I think we would have been locked for that local presence and local clientele and local talent. So if you don't do that, you will not be able to scale. And the big new term I love going through the Vistage these days, and being agile, you know, you got to be able to evolve and be flexible with the times that's changing. So if you don't do this, I'm going to think that you'll be stuck at where you are, both location physically and business-wise.
Ooh, that's huge. Dan, any thoughts on this?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think Kravitz is considered the nation's leader in cash balance plans. We administer more of these plans than any firm in the country. I don't think we'd be where we are today if we weren't able to have the scalability, because it's really important. I want you, we do hundreds and hundreds of these plans, these cash balance plans, and we got to provide a high level service, and scale's real important. And if I didn't have the right people on the bus and be able to reach outside of Los Angeles, we never would be where we are today. We wouldn't be the leaders in cash balance plans. We'd be just a small little regional player in LA like we were, 20 years ago.
It's you guys are cutting edge, which is very, very cool. In just a minute, I'm going to turn off the recording feature, because we've gotten feedback over the years that when we do our Q&A live with the open mic, that we not record the voices, so we'll continue to be respectful of that. I do want to mention, before we move on to the open line segment, that if you'd like to sign up for our next program, which will be held on November 19th, it's entitled How to Create an Ownership Culture. It's the same organization that helped Kravitz to structure their culture and processes along the way. So I think it will be a very exciting time. In the next couple of days, you'll be sent the PowerPoint and audio of today's program, so you can listen to it over and over again and get the wonderful ideas that have been shared today by Dan and Janine. Also, if you have additional questions on this topic of how to roll out or to create a remote workforce and the culture and how to manage and lead in a positive way, please feel free to call Janine. Her contact information is on the screen. And before we close down for this segment, I just want to thank both of you for being on Open Line. And you guys are wonderful, and just appreciate everything you do for personally and for the business community to expand it and make it a better and cool place to be. We're going to close down this segment, and so if everyone could please stand by, let me turn that off, and then we'll open the lineup for everybody.